Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Good morning, Portland and the great Northwest. And we hope you're having a great weekend to start your weekend. And I just want to give kudos out here to kudos when you should give them, and that is to the Oregon Ducks for taking care of Arizona and heading to the Rose Bowl and the national playoffs. I don't think there's any question that Oregon's going to be ranked one or two. And I know Kevin Steggy, who's usually on our show, is probably sleeping in this morning because he was actually at the game. And I don't expect him to pick up the phone and call in today. Do you, Carl?
I don't know. I think we should call him. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's not a bad idea, except he probably's got his cell phone off, and I don't know where he's staying. My other co-host today is Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm.
Good morning, Chuck. Nice to be here on this Saturday morning, especially given the fact that your wonderful Christmas holiday party for your clients was last night, and very well attended and very well composed and everything. And when I got here a little earlier this morning and I saw that you weren't here quite yet, I took a look at my notes and my files, and I said, I may have to do more work than I really want to do here this morning. So,
well, I'll let you do all the work you want today.
You're here and you're sharp, and we're all ready to go.
Well, listen, if you know, it's a Saturday morning, so this is a great time to get that cup of coffee. And I know numerous people at the at our party last night mentioned they were going to be listening to the show today. And so I hope they have a hot cup of coffee with them and waking up this morning and pick up the phone and give us a call. You can call us at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. And I got to tell you, Carl, we had several people there at our party that are also contributors as well as you to our book, Investing Simplified. And I'm going to give a little shout-out here to any of my clients that are listening to this, I'm going to offer this to all my clients. If they want a free copy of the book, I will certainly give them one. But I would highly recommend, if you're not and you want to learn about investing, I had some very nice compliments, people who have read the book. In fact, one person who they just became clients not too long ago, he told me he's read the book four times. And when he said that, I thought, he's read it four times, and he said no. He said it's just that you made some things so simple in investing. He said I went back to make sure I was getting it correct because I wanted to reread it again, and so I've had some real nice compliments. Whether you're a novice or an experienced investor, Investing Simplified will give you some concepts and ideas that can make you money. But more importantly of all, it's going to tell you some things that, you know, what you don't know can hurt you, and it'll tell you what to do to prevent that. And it also tells you some questions to ask other advisors that you're working with. And one of the things, the section in here about how to pick your advisor, how to hire your advisor, I really recommend to everybody to read that, because that's one of those things, is what you don't know really can hurt you, because there are people who present financial products that really aren't financial products. And what I mean by that is, when you look at a fixed indexed annuity, or a annuity per se, is not an investment. Now, a variable annuity is an investment, and it is a security, and it's regulated by the Securities Exchange, but it has no guaranteed values unless a guaranteed death benefit. Sometimes guaranteed return of purchase means you just get your money back. But most insurance products, Life insurance and annuities are not investments, and many people out there sell them as investments, and they're not investments. In fact, there's an ad that runs on TV all the time, and the guy says that none of my clients, when the market crashed, none of my clients lost money. But what he didn't say is they didn't make any money either, because that's true. They didn't lose any of their money. And what he also doesn't say is the products he's talking about have a 7 to 10 year surrender charge, which means if they want to take their money out, they're going to pay the company to get that money out. There is no free lunch when it comes to investing or buying an insurance product. The insurance company doesn't issue those products to not with the idea of making some money. How do they stay in business? They can't stay in business if they give you a free lunch.
You know, Chuck, that reminds me. That's one of those I think important questions is when you're talking with people, how do you make your money? I mean, you know, everybody knows that lawyers usually charge by the hour or sometimes flat fees or whatever, and that's pretty clear. I mean, that's what we do. But a lot of times, people who are especially in sales, I know that I was in sales many years ago, and you know, there were very number of ways that we got paid, whether it was commissions and salary plus commissions, or whether it was based on renewal of customer bases, or you know, there's a million things that go into how that works, and that's not always true of you know, like with various investment type folks, they have different ways of getting paid, and that might influence how they do their business.
Well, that's exactly right, Carl. In fact, you know, a lot of people, I always ask them, I say, did your advisor explain to you how he got paid? And I tell people right up front how I get paid. We get paid on fees. And we have fee-based managed products. And if the client makes money, we make money. If the client loses money, we're going to probably get fired. So, I mean, it's pretty simple transaction from that standpoint. We do offer some insurance products, but we disclose what the costs are of those products. And the one major difference to us, and in fact, it's something I say in the book, you want to ask the guy you're working with, the advisor, how much of your business is annuity business and how much of your business is fee-based? And I won't say any names here, but there are guys who are on the radio like we are, who are registered investment advisors who talk about the fact that they're fee-based advisors and they have a fiduciary responsibility to do the best thing for their clients. And one of the things that brings the light on that, Carl, from an attorney standpoint, I think you got to be very, very careful when you say that, because there's a thing called the prudent man rule.
Yeah.
And if 90% of your business is putting those clients in annuities and maybe 10% of your business is really doing fee-based, are you really doing the prudent thing, or are you doing the thing that pays you the highest money? And that, I mean, I you know, because I can sit down and show people, you know, since 1992 or since 1995, I can compare with what an indexed annuity and an investment outperforms the fixed indexed annuity every time over that period of time. So if an investment advisor is knowledgeable in investments and they're not just looking to sell you, they should be showing you that. And that's one of the things I think that people miss the boat on. Well, I'm going to give a quick stock report here because I'm about halfway through this segment, and I want to get through because I know Carl and I have got a lot to talk about today. How'd you like that, Carl? We got a lot to talk about.
We always have a lot to talk about.
Absolutely. But listen, we would like you to be part of our program. We want you to pick up the phone, give us a call. And one of the things, you know, I've been talking to different experts all over the country about radio shows and so forth and so on, and I think one of the things that makes our program unique, and there isn't another investment show on the air that I'm aware of that is actually live and actually takes questions from you. Almost every other show I've heard of on the air is a tape show. That means the guys go in, they tape the program, they're going to tell you what they want to tell you. They're not going to answer your question. The thing that makes us totally different than any other show in the Northwest that I'm aware of, in the financial show and legal show, we actually have in studio an estate planning attorney, in studio usually a CPA, except this weekend, and a financial advisor, and we're here to answer your questions. Those guys have canned presentations they give on the air they don't take open calls. They do questions, and I know for a fact some of those questions are questions and some of the questions they make up. So, and I know that because I've talked to several of those national shows, and I've asked them directly. I said, well, if I become part of your organization, how do you guys go about doing your question and answer? And they say, well, you know, if we don't get any emails in, we just make up a question. Of course, they don't say that on the air, but that's the way it is. So we try not to do that. We try to actually respond to things you ask us, things you call in. I mean, we've had several clients call in and talk to Kevin or Carl or me during the week, and we try to answer those questions. And I'm going to talk about some of those things today, things that have happened during the week. But first of all, I want to give a little quick stock report, because I think one of the things people need to be listening, and you need to be reading between the lines. When you hear economic reports like the recent report about unemployment, and you look at the numbers, you got to understand that 70% of those jobs reported are almost minimum wage or barely above minimum wage. They are not high income jobs. It is a fact that the average family has lost earnings every year for the last 6 years. And if we don't get this country, and I think one of the things that's very interesting that happened this week, and not to get political on the standpoint, but we've had two major Democrats come out and basically say the Democratic Party 6 years ago, when they took control of the House and the Senate and they had the president, the biggest mistake they did was concentrate on health care. They should have concentrated on economics and jobs. Even they are starting to understand now when they look at that. When you can go online and look at the unemployment report. When you do, you go on there and look at U6. U6 is the unemployment way they used to figure it prior to 99. Actually, 96 for on they changed. The reason they changed is the numbers started getting out of whack. I mean, this has been a long time coming. And the fact is, unemployment in this country is about 11.5. And they can talk what they want to talk about, but we have a two-edged sword happening in this country. We have 10,000 people turning 60 years old every single day. 10,000. Where are those people going? Probably not to work, but a lot of them are. A lot of them are working longer. But 10,000. We have kids who are at home that can't find jobs. They got college degrees. Where are they going to work at? We're not creating jobs. If the number one objective of our government, well, two objectives the government should have as far as I'm concerned. Number one, protect us. Make sure we're not going to get attacked and we have a strong military to protect us. That's number one. Number two, I think, is they've got to make a fair level playing field for jobs, and they got to be creating jobs in the private industry, not within the government, but they got to be making government laws and regulations to create jobs in this country. Not in China, not in Japan, not in Canada, certainly not in Mexico. They need to be creating jobs right here in America. And one of the other things I heard on the air the other day, and a guy called in and asked a question, and actually I think it was on the, I can't remember the show, but anyway, I heard a guy call in and he said, in those unemployment numbers, did they count now all that 5 million illegal aliens that Obama pardoned? Did they count them on the unemployment numbers? Because the majority of them don't work. They're on government subsidy. And that's the other thing. How on earth are we going to keep paying for government subsidy for people who come here, haven't contributed to the system, and now we're having to pick up their health care and their medical care, and in many cases, maybe giving them Social Security and they haven't paid a dime into it? I got to tell you, common sense, just have a little common sense to look at the numbers. You can't keep providing things for people who aren't contributing to the program. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. If you consider the fact that maybe 3% of the people have a mental illness, have a physical illness, some debilitating disability that they can't work and they can't contribute, and I think it's our job as a society to take care of them. I unequivocally think it's our responsibility. It's our moral and ethical responsibility to take care of those people, because they can't take care of themselves. But people who can take care of themselves, our only responsibility should be to show them how to get a job and teach them how to work and expect them to go work and make their way through life. That's responsibility. And I think that's called being a parent when you raise kids. We try to do that with our kids. We try to teach them, and we hope they're going to become responsible citizens. It's not always the case, but you do your best as a parent. And I think the government needs to do that right now. They need to be the best parent they can for this country. But I will get back and oh, I'm about losing my voice. I think I talked too much last night. I think it's a responsibility. But listen, if you got a question about it, whether you agree with me or disagree with me, that's fine. That's what we're here for. Give us a call, 503. If I find my notes here, 503-417-7626 and toll free 800-990-0750. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Carl's comments. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Here's Carl Jepsen.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is Carl Jepsen, and this is Investing Simplified, and we're back on the air, and it is time for Carl's comments. And so a lot of times, Chuck, you know, we talk about good estate planning as giving what you want to whom you want, when you want, with the least amount of hassle and the least expense. And that's a pretty good definition in some respects. And but there are some questions that I think, you know, come up in that context. And that is, when you're talking about giving what you want to whom you want, a lot of times people kind of don't think that through really well before they come into to an interview with an estate planning attorney. And so I just kind of wanted to go through some questions and maybe kind of provide some answers for some of these kinds of questions. One of the most common questions is, do you want to make any gifts to, you know, the most common situation is that folks are come in as a married couple. And then there's this, the first question there in my mind often is this a first marriage or is this a second or third marriage? Because that brings a whole new set of questions that needs to be asked. But the first one I would say is, do you want to make any specific gifts to anyone other than your spouse? In other words, more often than not, I'd say that most people say, okay, give everything to my spouse and then to somebody else. Well, sometimes, though, they want to say, well, I want to give my Corvette or my, you know, 1967 Cobra to, you know, my son when I die. Well, I always have to caution them that the lawyer always gets the 1967 Cobra, so that's not out of the off the table. But nonetheless, but actually, in other words, so a lot of times people don't think about, you know, what should I give something, you know, to somebody when I before my spouse or at the same time my spouse gets the rest of my estate. Well, just one question, one that people don't often ask. And the other question is, do you really want to give everything to your spouse, period? I mean, you know, it may be that you want to split it up somehow. And there again, that dynamic, that family dynamic and everything comes into play. So, you know, interesting thing. Now, there are some reasons why giving everything to the spouse are good. Number one, anything that you give to your spouse is inheritance tax-free at that point anyway. can change later, but at least as far as your spouse is concerned, they wouldn't have to pay any tax on it. So that's a good thing. And then the next question is, so if your spouse dies first, who do you want to give your property to? Now, if you're first marriage and you got your kids and or grandkids, well, that's pretty normal. I mean, you see people say, well, yeah, then it goes, and that's probably the most common thing that I see, which is give everything to the spouse, and then if she predeceases me, then it goes to the kids. And that's all fine. And that's about where the questioning usually ends or becomes different, because usually what ends up after that is I say, so what happens if one of your children dies before you do? And I can't tell you how many times people have said, I really didn't think about that. And then I ask questions like, okay, so, well, you know, a lot of people say if my child dies before I do, then give it to their children, you know, to my grandchildren. And that's a very common thing. But sometimes, you know, then I say, well, yeah, but what about the spouse? You know, what about your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law? You know, they've been around for a while, and they're the parent of your grandchildren, and, you know, and they're the ones that can take care of the kids, the grandkids. So, and sometimes they say, no way in the world do I want that son-in-law or that daughter-in-law to get the money. And, you know, in fact, we want you to fix it so that he never gets the money. And that's not uncommon either. But nonetheless, it's a question you have to ask. And sometimes it's interesting to see when you ask that question, but nonetheless, I think it's important. And I'm sharing these with you now so that you can think about them if you go to your estate planning attorney, that you can kind of think in advance, because the more information you can give and the more detail that you have for the plan that you want, the better off you are as far as the better the attorney is at being able to craft whatever it is you want into the plan. Other kinds of questions, do you want to benefit any charities? Are there other people that you might want to benefit? Are there some people that are important in your life or whatever it is that might benefit? And, you know, maybe a teacher or you know, I don't know, anybody. So just a thought. And then the questions kind of move on from there to, like, so when do you want your children to get their share? Do you want them to get it all at once? If your kids are 21 years old now, do you want them to get the whole deal? Maybe not. I'm not sure. I would have been, if somebody had given me a whole lot of money at 21, heck, I might have had a Cobra and no law school, who knows? But anyway, just a thought. And then the question is, so if you're not going to give it to them right away, who's going to take care of the money until you do give it to them? And that means, who do you want as a trustee? And that's a whole other story altogether. There might be some other things to consider, too, about how you want to give it to them or when you want to give it to them. And that is, are there any special needs? In other words, is there any kind of a disabling situation or some situation where they're receiving or will receive government benefits? Because that requires some additional work to go into the planning, because you don't want to necessarily do that just outright. And sometimes there's some kind of social engineering that people want to do. They want to put some conditions on getting the money, like getting through college or getting a job and holding it for 3 years or any number of kinds of things like that. Or, you know, and unfortunately, in many situations, tying it to progress with substance abuse. They say, well, you know, as long as you're, you know, sober and clean for a year, you can get so much or something like that. Those are difficult to, and if you're going to do those kinds of things, you got to go back to the big question we mentioned before, which is, who are you going to have run this show? Who's going to be the trustee? Because those are very difficult things, and you want to have somebody who really knows what they're doing and that you can really trust if you're going to kind of do those kinds of things. So those are some questions that I think come up. And just very quickly, a couple other things, and these are things just to think about. Does your deceased child's spouse get anything? That one we just talked about. And do you want your spouse to be able to change the distribution that you have affected in your plan? In other words, if they get all the money and then they can turn around, can they, you know, give it to somebody else? What about remarriage? What do you think about what happens to your money if your spouse gets remarried? What about stepchildren? You know, Snidely stepson. What about that? You know, what do they get, if anything? And then there's some of my favorites. What about those other people that might come into the surviving spouse's life? You know, Paul the pernicious pool boy, Candy, the calculating caregiver, Nick, the nefarious nephew, and Gregory, the greedy gigolo, and one of my favorites, Geraldine, the gussied up gold digger. What about them? You know, do you want to protect them for that?
You must lay awake at night coming up with these ideas.
I think they come across my desk every day, every now and then I see these folks, and I've gotten to the point where I can just sort of see them coming a mile away. You could also have, you know, Nancy, the nefarious neighbor. That also fits in there, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, just questions to think about, because a lot of times people are concerned. Other people say, I don't care if I'm going to, if I'm done, if I'm out of here, what they do with my money is no problem. But it just seems to me that most of us want to have it used in some reasonably prudent fashion, or at least to benefit people who ought to benefit, rather than going to a non-useful or non-appreciated purpose.
Well, Carl, one of the problems is for me particularly, not so much you, but I'm sure you encounter it as well, is sometimes when you've got children of the family member that you're doing the estate for, and they're the ones you got to be careful of. And it's kind of a hard thing. I know we've had situations where we've tried to get people to get with an attorney or somebody, because we can't tell them, hey, your kids are taking all your money and you really need to not let that happen because you may need it. But you're very defensive, because as a parent, and you and I know, as a parent, the one thing is you're never going to not be their dad. You're going to always be their dad. So no matter what happens through life, and if you're a mom, you're always going to be the mom. That's just a fact of life. But it's a hard thing as you get older and older and older. And for me, I have to be careful there, because what I'm telling the client, because the kids can say, well, you're just saying that. And I can say, well, you need to have an attorney to talk about what you're doing, and there needs to be some documentation. You can't just willy-nilly give money away. You can, but it's going to come back to bite somebody.
You know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about that in the context of being a parent. I have several signs across from my desk, and these apply to certain kinds of legal things, but the concept's the same. And one of the big signs is just say no. And I'm not really all that good at it, quite frankly. And then the other one says slow down. I'm not all that good at that one either. And the other one says, if you don't have time to do it right the first time, how are you going to get time to finish it up? And
well, that's actually a good one for you.
But nonetheless, I think in the terms of a parent situation, being able to say no is very difficult sometimes. And I think we all appreciate that. You know, there's a conflict of thought as to what was, you know, and a lot of times I think saying no is a lot better than saying yes. But it's harder. So anyway.
Yeah, like I've heard so many people say, and we all know it, all of us who experience being a parent, but there's no class you can take. They don't teach this in school. It's certainly not a college course. It's certainly not a high school course about how to be a parent. And it is, without a question, I think, one of the toughest jobs in the world to be a parent.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And all of us who experience, well, listen, if you've got a question, there are certain things we can't answer. One of them would be the psychology of being a parent. But certainly when it comes to the law or investing, we've got some answers there. So pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-7626, or toll free 800-990-0750. And I'm going to come right back, and I'm going to give a little stock report and talk about what's going on in the market and the economy, and hopefully inspire you to pick up that phone and give us a call and ask us a question, because that's what's fun for us here coming in on a Saturday morning, is answering your questions and having dialogue with you. And you know, you're totally anonymous. Nobody knows who you are. So you can use a fake name. You don't have to use your real name, and ask your questions. So give us a call. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. 7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
My name is Money. Money is my name. Well, hello, my name
We're
is
We're back
Money.
Now, and you're listening to Investing Simplified. Hopefully you can give us a call if you got a question. I'm going to kind of go through a little stock report here, and of course, we're playing the Knowledge Trust there because it's just me and Carl today, and Kevin's down there celebrating, probably celebrated a lot last night with the Oregon Duck victory. But I did want to report that the Dow Jones closed at 17,958.79, another all-time high. And if you remember, and those of you who are regular listeners, we have Harry Dent or Rodney Johnson on the show every third Saturday, and we're going to be having Harry Dent in a couple of weeks because this is the first one, so we got two more weeks. But Harry Dent's going to be on, and I have to tell you, if you're not a subscriber to his free newsletter, I gotta highly recommend that you you go on Harry's website or you go on my website, and you can link to his newsletter. But I really recommend that you can go on pfgwm.com. There's a place there to sign up for Harry Dent's newsletter. You can also go on askthefinancialdoctor.com and go to Harry Dent, or you can go to harrydent.com. But they've got a free newsletter called Economic and Markets Daily, and Carl, I believe you're getting it.
I do, yes.
And they got some great information in there, but then there's also various other things, and of course, I subscribe to a lot of different Harry Dent stuff and have read Harry's books. And you know, right now, it's kind of funny to me here about a year or so ago, 2 years ago, we were talking to Harry about deflation. And at that time, he went on several news shows, and I've heard the news guy say to him, we're never going to have deflation. That's just a pipe dream. We're going to have hyperinflation. Everybody was saying hyper. It's amazing now how many people are saying, you know what? We're in a deflationary period of time, and this might last for 5 years.
Yep.
And, you know, and I got to tell you, it is different because, you know, we're not through. The real estate market hasn't totally recovered. And I don't think we've seen the last of the problems there. But I really recommend to you that if you listen to any of our shows, The third Saturday of the month is a pretty good one to listen to because you'll hear Harry Dent expound for about 30 minutes. And one of the things that has happened, because we have Harry Dent on the show and various other people that I know in the financial industry, there's a gentleman by the name of Louis Navler who will be start joining us every quarter. And Louis is a very aggressive, positive advisor, high risk, and he invests, and he's done extremely well in the market. He manages well over $1 billion. So, you know, he's one of the big players in the industry. And they asked if they could, you know, be on our show, and we're going to have them come on. And I believe it's either going to be the first or the second Saturday in January. We've got to work out the logistics for them, that he'll be calling in like we have Harry Dent. But for you people that are aggressive investors, you're going to kind of like Louis, because Louis's got some pretty neat stuff. And he does have various newsletters you can sign up for. I don't think he has a free one, because I know I pay for my subscription. But I've been reading Louis's stuff for many, many years. And he is one of those guys that I think if you have money that you want to invest and take a higher risk on, Louis's your guy, because he's done extremely well in good and bad markets. So I highly recommend that you might want to listen to that, and it's a great time to look at that. But I want to kind of get into the market here, because as I mentioned, the Dow closed at 17,958, another record. And we've been talking for months and months and months with Harry Dent about when are we going to have another correction in the market. And he has consistently said when we hit the highs, you know, when the Dow hits all-time highs, and he's mentioned about 18,000 to 20,000, we're at 17,9. We're getting close. And the last time I remember talking to him, he said about 18,500. So we're not very far from there. We're not very far at all. And he's also mentioned about the fact that we could have this recession also when the S&P exceeded 2,000. Well, it's at 2,075. So we got to be getting close to a correction here. And of course, nobody has a crystal ball. There's nobody I've ever known that can predict when you're going to have a correction, or when the market's going up or the market's going to go down. You can predict the trend of the market, that it's going to kind of be doing these things. But as far as picking the day, if somebody can tell you they can pick the day, they would be so rich they would own this country. I mean, you can't predict something that's something that's that unpredictable. But the Dow Jones closed at 17,958. Now, where do we stand when we hit that previous all-time high at on 10,907 to 14,164.53 before the crash? Well, we're up 26.78%. So in 7 years and 2 months, we're up 3.74% per year. That's not an exciting number, folks. Now, because I've had people call me and say, hey, that's really unfair because you picked the high, and then the market crashed, and what about all the people who bought low? Well, I got news for you. 90% of the people didn't buy at the bottom of the market. And people who did, I've yet to see. I've heard people tell me they did it, but when I've said to them, hey, stop by and show me your returns and show me that you did that, I haven't seen them. So if you're an exception and you can show me, I'll look and I'll listen, because I don't know anybody that did. I can guarantee you the mutual fund managers that manage 90% of all the investments in this country didn't, and that's all they do for a living. So if you did, more power to you. Most of us didn't, and that's a fact of life. But I've had people say to me, hey, well, that's an unfair. So how about so what I did is I started going back to the turn of the century, because that's a fair time. You know, we went to a new century on 12/31/99, and to me, the market kind of changed at that time, because we really did become a world economy. None of the stocks in the S&P 500 you can say are really America stocks. Most of them make the majority of their money internationally, not in America anymore. So the market has changed a lot. But if we look at the Dow Jones, and Dow Jones basically is 30 stocks that represent about 70% of the net worth of the entire stock market. So you're talking the big of the big. These are the behemoths of the stock market. The Dow Jones closed on 1231.99 at 11,497. So where do we stand on that from the 13 years and 11 months? Well, the Dow Jones is up 56.2 or 4.04%. For you people out there who like to say, you know, blame one leader over the other leader, the market's actually done better since the turn of the century when Bill Clinton was still in office and through George Bush's term than it's done through Barack Obama's term. So that's the fact of reality. But that doesn't matter because I say in the show, the president doesn't control the economy. He can mess it up by doing executive decisions and things like that. But the end result is your Congress needs to take action, and hopefully they will in January. Your House and your Senate needs to be speaking up. That's why we have three parts of government, you know, and that's where you count on the Supreme Court as being that third part, doing their job as well. So hopefully all that will take place. But the fact is the Dow Jones over the last 13 years and 11 months is up a whopping 4% per year. That is less than 50% of the previous 80 years' returns. Folks, you need to look at this because this is you're not hearing this on any other show, financial show in America. And I've sent emails to certain business shows that I want to come on and I want to talk to them. Of course, they don't want to talk to me because I'm asking them to look at the real numbers because when they're talking about it, are not real. And that's just the reality. And by the way, if you read my book, Investing Simplified, I tell you the difference between average annual return and real rate of return, and there is a big difference. Just like when you get your paycheck, there's a big difference between gross and net. Same thing with investing. You don't look at what you grossly made. You look at what you net from that investment. That's called net return. All the other stuff is baloney, or in some other circles, you could be called something else, on a farm. Yep. Anyway, let's look at this, and let's look at the S&P 500. The S&P 500 represents 500 growth stocks. Now, to me, what the S&P represents is really, it represents the economy of the United States, but now it really represents the economy of the world. And you know, we've been spoiled because we've been in a country that's been in a growth spurt for 80 years since the Great Depression. We've had ups and downs, and we've had backsteps, but primarily real estate's been going up because you can't build any more of it. What you have, you have. However, we're finding out that that's not always the case. So, you know, we look back and we say, what kind of growth? In the S&P, you would expect that the growth would be off the chart. Well, the S&P closed at 2,075. Where did we stand on 10,907 at 1,565.15? So in 7 years and 2 months, we're up 32.6% or 4.55% per year. Now, that's a good rate if you're talking about a bank account and a bank. If you could walk into a bank right now and get 4.5%, you'd be crazy not to do that because nobody's paying that. You can't find those rates. They don't exist. They're non-existent. But would you really take a risk of maybe losing your money to only get 4.5%? I don't think most investors want to take that risk to only get a gain back of 4.5%. It doesn't make sense. But it gets worse. If we go back and we go back to 1231.99, the S&P closed at 1469. So in 13 years and 11 months, the S&P is up a total of 41.25 or 2.96% per year. Folks, that's under 3% of 500 growth stocks that the previous 80 years did almost 10, well, something a little over 10%. I mean, that's a drastic change. Now, I predicted on this show a few months ago, and I got to say, I don't like doing predicting anything because, and I only did it because another guy on an interview asked me a question with a radio show and asked me a question where I thought oil was going. And I said, he told me he thought oil was going up. And I said, no, I think it's going down. In fact, I think we could hit the bottom at 60 to 65. And I kind of thought, boy, Price, you kind of stuck your foot in it there. You probably shouldn't have said that. But I got to report this. Yesterday, oil closed at 65.63.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, that's what I said.
You know, it's interesting because I remember when we started doing the show, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, we used to kind of play a little game about what it was going to be and all that stuff. And it was relatively volatile, but we were talking in the, you know, the hundreds easy all the time, mostly.
Yeah, I remember one time when you and I had a discussion about it, and I said, well, I hope it stops at 125.
Yeah, and we were, you know, talking about selling my truck for that reason, you know. So, it really, yeah, it's just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all those people who got rid of their RVs now are maybe kind of looking at that and saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe that old gas hog wasn't all so bad. I mean, you know, it was kind of interesting. If you look at a map, and I got to say, I have consistently been able to buy gas in Vancouver under $3 a gallon. And I got to tell you, it's nice. I absolutely love it. But last time I reported gas, and that's when we talked about this, was on 11/21, and that was $76.64. That's a $9 reduction in the cost. And I'm telling you, if this country, there's a guy by the name of Strasburg, another economist that I follow, and you know, you can go on the web and you can follow a lot of these different economists, but there's a guy named Strasburg that years ago said that if the United States was serious about getting out of debt, was absolutely serious about getting out of debt, we would open up all of our public lands to oil production. We would start building refineries in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana. We'd start putting people together. We'd start using that money and take that money that we sold to foreign countries and have the government take a piece of it for nothing but debt reduction. And he had a formula, and you can go online and look him up because there's a lot of stories about him online. But he had a formula that within 5 to 7 years, we would have a zero debt. Now, it was $14 trillion when he was saying that, and it's $18 trillion now. But still, the numbers are still the same because you've got a world that's crying for oil, and we have the mother load of all mothers. And why we're not taking advantage of it, why we've not put the XL pipeline in, I have no idea. But I'll tell you what, if I were president for a day, that would be one of the things I would do, and I would put hundreds of thousands of people to work with high-paying jobs, construction, building oil refineries, building tons of oil refineries in the United States, putting people to work, construction workers building them, and then having factory jobs for people. And you know, that's one of the things that's kind of missed in this whole thing, because there's been comments that the oil is just going to come through and then it's going to be shipped out. Well, what's missing in that, when that oil comes down the pipeline to New Orleans and they ship it, it then goes into 100% into manufacturing, because that's where we have our refineries. Now, why don't we have refineries up in North Dakota, South Dakota, and up by the Canadian border so we can take that and refine it right then and ship it out? I have no idea. But they want to ship it out by boat, I guess, out of New Orleans. So that's where we have the refineries. Half the jobs that are going to be created by that pipeline are going to be manufacturing jobs, the one thing America is hurting for, and yet none of the news people say to anything about the government say, hey, you're not giving the facts to the people. These are great paying jobs. We could really help New Orleans. But do they really want to help them, or do they just want to make it harder? I don't know. I have to look at that and say, come on, these are great paying jobs. But, you know, a lot of people are concerned about the price of oil going down. I don't see it as a negative as the way a lot of people are talking about it. And that's one of the reasons why I kind of report the numbers differently than other people do, because nobody in the stock market buys at the bottom. Just, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And when you hear these guys talking about the rate of return in the roaring stock market, well, let's talk about the roaring stock market. If you listen to the news, you would think you are an absolute idiot to not be, boy, investing all your money now. All the guys that are on TV telling you, invest now, are all the guys who told you the same thing in 07. They're the same guys that told you this in 99 before the tech bubble crash. They were the guys saying it ain't never going to end. It's just going to keep going up. I can remember there were guys on TV in 99 before we hit 2000 and the market kind of tanked for 3 years. They were saying that the Dow was going to go to 20,000 then. From 11,000 to 20,000. There was a ton of guys saying that. They were on TV almost all the time. They're the same guys that are on there right now saying, hey, it's going to go to 20,000 to 30,000. Hey, folks, think about it. All I say to you, if you're going to invest, think about it. Gold, and for all you gold mites out there, having a little bit of gold's okay. But, you know, we've always said 3% to 5% in gold. High risk. High risk, high reward. But big risk. Gold is right now, 2 weeks ago it closed at 1192. It came up a little bit at 1201. You know, if you read Harry Dent's book, I got to tell you, he's constantly predicting in that book that by 2020, it's going to be at about 282 an ounce. So buyer beware. If you want to buy it, you're going to take the risk. We're going to come right back with our last segment of the show. You're listening to Investing Simplified. It's probably too late to give us a call because we've only got about 7-8 minutes, but we'll be right back to answer call if you do call. Again, give us a call if you have a question. If not, write down the numbers for next week when we'll be on the air. The numbers are 503-417-7626. Toll free, 800-990-0750.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Let's face it, the rules of retirement have changed. What we were told to do just a few years ago now seems like a pipe dream. Hi, this is Michael Burnett for Chuck Price, owner of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. You know the drill. Be a loyal employee. You'll get a pension. Your home will be worth 10 to 20 times what you paid for it when you retire. So how's that working for you? Call Chuck Price right now. He's located right here in Portland. Featured expert on Investing Simplified on AM 970. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or close to retiring, and he focuses on protection of principal and tax strategies to minimize your taxes. Call right now and get Chuck's retirement report. It's packed full of information on generating more income during retirement, how to leave more to your heirs, and so much more. 503-253-3000. Chuck Price, Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. 7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
If I had $1 million.
Always liked that song, you know. It's a nice little song, nice little ring there about $1 million. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you how you can get $1 million or at least start getting your planning to $1 million, and that is pick yourself up a copy of Investing Simplified. You can get it on Amazon.com, and you can also get it on Amazon.com on a Kindle. So that's a great way to get it. And I think if you read the book, you'll have some knowledge. Now, I'm not going to say that that will give you a million-dollar idea, but I will tell you this. If you buy the book for under 20 bucks and you can't get 1,000 times out of that, then you didn't read it. So that I will say. And I think one of the great things right now with the holidays coming, if you have a young person, and one of my somebody I know from Minnesota called me, and he had went online and bought it. He actually bought it on Kindle. And his daughter, who is going to the University of Portland, actually picked up his Kindle and said to him, "Hey, Dad, what's this book on here?" And he said, "I want you to read it." So he'd given it to his daughter to read. And he went and had to buy another Kindle because she had taken his Kindle because hers broke. So she took his. And so he went and bought another one. And then what he did was he bought another one for his other child, and he put it on there too. So they all got the book, and he said, "Listen, if I can give you a gift for Christmas this year, I'm giving you a gift of knowledge." And I think that's one of the things I'll say. I think if you read this book, I've had a lot of feedback from people who have read it and have said that it's got a wealth of knowledge in it. And I also have, because one of the things I think that's a big problem in my industry, and I can point at my industry and say this is a major problem. We have guys who and women who think they know everything about everything. And I got news for you. They don't. I fully admit I do not know everything. And I know what I don't know. And what I know is when I encounter something that a client needs, I know who to go to get them the answer. I don't have all the answers. And I could tell you this. If your advisor tells you he has all the answers, you have a fool for an advisor. I'm just going to tell you straight out. In this book, I have 9 other experts. One of them happens to be Carl Jepsen. One of them happens to be Kevin Stange. Because I don't know the law. I know enough about the law to be dangerous. But I'm certainly never going to recommend somebody to take a legal action based on my opinion, because that would be stupid. I'm going to have them talk to an attorney who knows the law and knows what to do. There's a great movie that I love with Clint Eastwood, who always says, "A man's got to know his limitations." And you know, I totally believe that in every profession, Carl. A person's got to know their limitations. And if you don't, you're going to make a big mistake. Well, listen, join us next week for Investing Simplified. And, Carl, how does somebody get a hold of you?
Telephone number is 503-255-8795, and we're at warrenallen.com on the web. Have a great week.
Yep, and we're at pfgwm.com. You can go on there, and you can also look at the book on Amazon. So give us a call next week. Thank you very much, and have a great week.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Kilmeade, Herman Cain, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Lars Larson, and Michael Savage. The Six Pillars of Freedom on Freedom 970 KUFO AM, Portland.